Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here,
reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion
or your first big lightning strike.
There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I can still remember the smell of barbecue lingering in the air, mingling with the faint scent of fireworks as we drove home from our Memorial Day celebration. It had been a wonderful day with family and friends, the kind that fills you with a sense of contentment and exhaustion. My wife, Evelyn, was dozing off in the passenger seat, and our two kids, Violet and Caleb, were fast asleep in the back. It was late, probably close to midnight, and the only sound was the hum of the engine and the occasional whisper of the wind against the car. The road stretched out before us, a ribbon of asphalt cutting through the dense forest. The headlights pierced the darkness, illuminating only a small patch of the road ahead. It was one of those desolate stretches of highway where you could drive for miles without seeing another car. The isolation was comforting at first, a welcome contrast to the noise and bustle of the day's festivities. We were about halfway home when the car started to sputter. I glanced at the dashboard and realized, to my horror, that the fuel gauge was dangerously low. I cursed under my breath, mentally kicking myself for not filling up before we left. I gently shook Evelyn awake and explained the situation. "We need to find a gas station, fast," I said, trying to keep my voice steady. Evelyn nodded, her eyes wide with concern. We both scanned the road ahead, hoping to spot a sign for a gas station or a rest stop. The minutes ticked by, and the car's sputtering grew worse. Just when I thought we were going to be stranded, we saw a faint glow in the distance. As we got closer, it became clear that it was a gas station, its neon sign flickering like a beacon of hope. I pulled into the empty lot and parked beside the lone pump. The place looked old and run down, the kind of gas station you'd expect to see in a horror movie. The windows of the small convenience store were dark, and there was no sign of an attendant. I felt a chill run down my spine, but we had no choice. We needed gas. "I'll go see if there's anyone inside," I told Evelyn, who looked uneasy. "Be careful," she said, her voice barely above a whisper. I nodded and stepped out of the car. The cool night air hit me, and I shivered. As I walked towards the store, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. I reached the door and peered inside, but it was pitch black. I tried the handle, and to my surprise, it opened with a creak. I called out, but there was no response. "Hello? Anyone here?" I said, my voice echoing in the empty store. There was no answer. I stepped inside, the floorboards creaking under my weight. The air was musty, and the shelves were mostly empty, covered in a thick layer of dust. I made my way to the counter and found an old-fashioned cash register and a stack of yellowed receipts. Behind the counter, there was a door slightly ajar, leading to what I assumed was a back room. I hesitated, my heart pounding in my chest. Something about this place felt off, but I needed to find someone. I pushed the door open and was met with darkness. I fumbled for a light switch and found it, but when I flipped it, nothing happened. My eyes slowly adjusted to the dim light filtering in from the store, and I saw a figure standing in the shadows. "Excuse me," I said, trying to keep my voice steady. "Do you work here?" The figure didn't move. It was a man, tall and gaunt, wearing a tattered uniform. His eyes were hollow, and he stared at me with an intensity that made my skin crawl. "Can you help me?" I asked, taking a step back. The man remained silent, his gaze never wavering. Panic started to set in, and I turned to leave, but the door slammed shut behind me. I was plunged into darkness, and I could hear the man's footsteps slowly approaching. I fumbled for my phone, using its light to guide me, but when I turned it on, the man was gone. I bolted out of the back room and sprinted towards the car. Evelyn saw the look of terror on my face and immediately locked the doors. I jumped into the driver's seat and tried to start the car, but it wouldn't turn over. The engine just sputtered and died. "What's wrong?" Evelyn asked, her voice shaking. "There's someone in there," I said, glancing back at the store. "We need to get out of here, now." Just then, the man appeared at the entrance of the store, his hollow eyes fixed on us. He started walking towards the car, his pace slow but deliberate. I tried the engine again, praying it would start, and to my relief, it roared to life. I slammed the car into gear and sped out of the lot, the man's figure disappearing into the darkness behind us. We didn't stop until we reached the next town, where we found a brightly lit gas station with other cars and people around. I filled up the tank, my hands still shaking, and we continued.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Our journey home, silent and shaken. I don't know who or what that man was, but I know I'll never forget the look in his eyes and the terror I felt that night. As kids, we all have places that capture our imagination. For me, it was the old amusement park on the outskirts of town. It had been closed for as long as I could remember, and our parents had always warned us to stay away. But on one particularly daring Memorial Day, curiosity got the better of me and my friends. We had spent the day at the town's Memorial Day parade and picnic, and as the sun began to set, we decided to make our way to the abandoned amusement park. It was a spur-of-the-moment decision, spurred on by the thrill of the forbidden. The park was a relic from a bygone era, its once vibrant colors faded and peeling. The main gate stood ajar, as if inviting us in. We hesitated for a moment, exchanging nervous glances, before Jamie pushed the gate open with a loud creak. We stepped inside, the air thick with the scent of decay and rust. "Are we really doing this?" Liz asked, her voice trembling slightly. "Come on, it's just an old park. What's the worst that could happen?" Max replied, trying to sound brave. The pathways were overgrown with weeds, and the rides loomed like skeletal giants in the twilight. We walked past the broken-down carousel, its horses frozen in mid-gallop, their eyes staring blankly ahead. The Ferris wheel stood motionless, its seats swaying gently in the breeze. "Let's check out the funhouse," Jamie suggested, pointing to a dilapidated building at the edge of the park. The funhouse had always been the stuff of legends. Rumor had it that it was haunted, that strange things happened to those who dared enter. but we were young and foolish, eager to prove our bravery. We approached the entrance, the paint on the sign barely legible, House of Mirrors. The door was slightly ajar, and with a deep breath, I pushed it open. The inside was dark and musty, the air thick with dust. We turned on our flashlights, the beams cutting through the darkness. The hallway was lined with mirrors, their surfaces cracked and grimy. As we ventured deeper into the funhouse, the mirrors began to distort our reflections, twisting and stretching our features into grotesque shapes. We laughed nervously, but there was an underlying tension in the air. "Did you hear that?" Liz whispered, her flashlight shaking in her hand. We all fell silent, straining to listen. There was again a faint, shuffling sound, like someone dragging their feet. My heart began to race, and I could see the fear in my friend's eyes. "It's probably just an animal," Jamie said, trying to sound confident. But the sound grew louder, closer. We turned a corner and found ourselves in a room filled with more mirrors, arranged in a maze-like pattern. The shuffling sound echoed around us, disorienting us further. "Let's get out of here," Max suggested, his voice tinged with panic. We turned to leave, but the way back seemed different, the mirrors creating an endless maze of reflections. Panic set in as we realized we were lost. The shuffling sound was now unmistakably close, and I felt a cold sweat trickle down my spine. "Over here!" Jamie called, spotting what looked like an exit sign in the distance. We hurried towards it, our footsteps echoing loudly in the confined space. Just as we reached the door, it slammed shut with a deafening bang. We froze, our flashlights casting eerie shadows on the walls. "What the hell is going on?" Liz cried, her voice breaking. The shuffling sound was right behind us now. I turned around, my flashlight beam illuminating a figure in the distance. It was a man, dressed in tattered carnival clothes, his face hidden in shadow. He moved slowly towards us, dragging one leg as if injured. "Run!" Jamie shouted, and we bolted through the maze, our breaths coming in ragged gasps. The funhouse seemed to twist and turn on its own, the mirrors warping our reflections into nightmarish forms. We stumbled through the dark, the figure always just a few steps behind us. I could hear Liz sobbing, Max cursing under his breath, and Jamie urging us to keep going. Finally, we burst through a door and found ourselves outside. We didn't stop running until we reached the main gate. We collapsed on the ground, gasping for breath, our hearts pounding in our chests. "Did you see him?" Max asked, his face pale. We all nodded, the memory of the figure etched into our minds. We scrambled to our feet and hurried away from the park, never looking back. Even now, as an adult, the thought of that night sends chills down my spine. The old amusement park has long since been torn down, replaced by a shopping mall. But the memories remain. That Memorial Day, what was meant to be a harmless adventure turned into a nightmare. The figure in the funhouse, the eerie sounds, the feeling of being trapped, all of it left a scar that will never fade. It's a story I share reluctantly, a cautionary tale for those who seek thrills in places best left undisturbed. The smell of wood smoke and sizzling sausages filled the air as we gathered around the campfire. It was Memorial Day weekend, and my friends and I had decided to escape the city and spend a few days in the great outdoors. We had found the perfect spot, a secluded campsite deep in the forest, far from the usual tourist trails. The canopy of trees overhead filtered the fading sunlight, casting dappled shadows on the ground. There were Mark, Chloe, Jason, Hannah, and me. We had been friends since college, and camping trips like this had become a tradition. The day had been filled with hiking, swimming in the nearby lake, and laughing over old memories. As night fell, the forest around us came alive with the sounds of crickets and the occasional hoot of an owl. We sat around the fire, toasting marshmallows and telling stories. The conversation flowed easily, and soon we were sharing ghost stories. Mark, ever the storyteller, was in the middle of a particularly chilling tale when we heard a rustling in the bushes behind us. We all fell silent, staring into the darkness beyond the firelight. "Probably just a deer," Mark said with a grin, trying to break the tension. But the rustling continued, closer this time. My heart began to race, and I could see the unease on my friends' faces. Jason stood up, holding his flashlight, and pointed it towards the noise. The beam of light cut through the darkness, revealing nothing but the dense underbrush. "Maybe we should check it out," Jason suggested, but Chloe quickly shook her head. "Let's just stay by the fire." "It's probably nothing," she said, her voice trembling slightly. We tried to brush it off and continue with our stories, but the mood had shifted. Every snap of a twig, every rustle of leaves, made us jump. Eventually, we decided to call it a night. We put out the fire and retreated to our tents, hoping the safety of the canvas walls would ease our nerves. I shared a tent with Jason, while Mark, Chloe, and Hannah shared the other one. The forest seemed to close in around us, the darkness impenetrable. I lay awake, listening to the sounds of the night, my mind replaying every horror story I had ever heard. Just as I was starting to drift off, I heard it again, the rustling, this time right outside our tent. I nudged Jason awake, my heart pounding in my chest. "Did you hear that?" I whispered. Jason listened for a moment and then nodded. "Yeah." "Stay quiet." We both lay there, holding our breath, as the rustling grew louder. Suddenly, the zipper on our tent began to move, slowly inching open. Panic surged through me, and I grabbed the nearest object, a heavy flashlight, ready to defend myself. The zipper stopped, and we could see the silhouette of a person crouched at the entrance of our tent. The dim moonlight filtered through the fabric, casting an eerie glow. Jason switched on his flashlight, and the beam revealed a stranger's face, pale, with wide, unblinking eyes. "Who are you?" Jason demanded, his voice steady despite the fear I knew he was feeling. The stranger didn't respond. Instead, he bolted, disappearing into the darkness. We scrambled out of the tent, shouting for Mark, Chloe, and Hannah. They emerged from their tents, equally alarmed. "What happened?" Mark asked, looking around wildly. "Someone was trying to get into our tent," Jason explained, his flashlight scanning the surrounding forest. We huddled together, our eyes darting around, but the stranger was nowhere to be seen. We decided to keep the fire going for the rest of the night, taking turns keeping watch. Sleep was out of the question. The next day, we packed up camp as quickly as we could. The forest that had seemed so inviting now felt menacing. As we loaded our gear into the car, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. Every snap of a twig, every rustle of leaves, set my nerves on edge. The experience left us shaken, and we reported the incident to the park rangers, but they found no trace of the intruder. To this day, the memory of that night haunts me. The feeling of being watched, the sound of the zipper slowly opening, and the stranger's face illuminated by the flashlight are seared into my mind. Our Memorial Day camping trip had turned into a nightmare, one that I hope never to relive. Memorial Day weekend was always a special time for our family. Every year, we gathered at my grandparents' old farmhouse for a reunion. It was a time for catching up, sharing stories, and reliving childhood memories. This year was no different, except for one unsettling incident that would haunt me for years. The farmhouse was a relic of the past, with creaky wooden floors, faded wallpaper, and a basement that had always given me the creeps. As a kid, I used to avoid the basement at all costs. It was dark, damp, and filled with old, forgotten things. But this time, I found myself drawn to it, curious to see if it was as terrifying as I remembered. The reunion was in full swing when I decided to venture downstairs. My cousins and I had been playing games and sharing ghost stories, so my mind was already primed for something eerie. I grabbed a flashlight from the kitchen and made my way to the basement door. It creaked open slowly, revealing a set of narrow, wooden steps leading into darkness. "I'll be back in a minute," I called out to my cousins, trying to sound casual. "Don't get lost," Nicholas teased, laughing. I descended the stairs, the flashlight beam cutting through the musty air. The basement was just as I remembered, cluttered with old furniture, dusty boxes, and cobwebs hanging from the ceiling. I wandered through the space, shining the light on various objects, feeling a strange mix of nostalgia and unease. Suddenly, I heard a faint whisper. I froze, my heart pounding in my chest. It was probably just the wind, I told myself. But then I heard it again, clearer this time. It sounded like a voice, low and unintelligible, coming from the far corner of the basement. "Who's there?" I called out, my voice trembling. There was no response, just an oppressive silence. I took a deep breath and slowly made my way towards the corner, my flashlight beam shaking. The air grew colder as I approached, and the hairs on the back of my neck stood on end. In the corner, partially hidden behind an old wardrobe, I saw a small, dark opening. It looked like a hidden passageway or an old storage room. My curiosity was stronger than me, and I crouched down to peer inside. The flashlight revealed a narrow tunnel leading deeper into the basement, the walls lined with stone. "Guys, you have to see this," I whispered, feeling a strange mix of fear and excitement. I squeezed through the opening, the walls closing in around me. The tunnel was dark and claustrophobic, and I had to crouch to avoid hitting my head. As I moved forward, the whispering grew louder, more distinct. It sounded like a woman's voice, pleading in desperate. "Help me, please." I stopped in my tracks, my heart racing. The voice was coming from just ahead. I took a deep breath and pressed on, the tunnel opening up into a small, dimly lit room. In the center of the room, illuminated by my flashlight, was an old, wooden rocking chair. It was moving slowly back and forth, as if someone had just been sitting in it. "Hello?" I called out, my voice echoing in the confined space. The rocking chair stopped abruptly, and the room fell silent. I shone the flashlight around, searching for any sign of the source of the voice. The walls were lined with old, dusty shelves filled with antique knick-knacks. In the corner, I saw a small, tattered doll, its glass eyes staring blankly ahead. A chill ran down my spine as I approached the doll. It looked ancient, with faded clothes and a cracked porcelain face. I picked it up, turning it over in my hands. There was something unsettling about it, something that made me want to put it down and run. Just then, the whispering returned, louder and more frantic. Panic set in, and I dropped the doll, backing away towards the tunnel. "Help me, please." The voice was now right behind me. I spun around, the flashlight beam illuminating a figure in the doorway. It was a woman, her face pale and gaunt, her eyes hollow and lifeless. She reached out to me, her fingers skeletal and cold. I screamed and bolted through the tunnel, the woman's voice echoing in my ears. I didn't stop until I reached the stairs, tripping and stumbling in my haste to escape. I burst through the basement door, slamming it shut behind me. "What's wrong?" Nicholas asked, his face pale with concern. "The basement, there's someone down there," I gasped, my heart still racing. We all gathered at the top of the stairs, listening intently. The basement was silent, the oppressive atmosphere lifting. I couldn't shake the feeling that I had seen something real, something terrifying. We decided to leave the basement alone for the rest of the weekend, but the memory of that night stayed with me. Even now, years later, I can't explain what I saw or heard. The farmhouse has been sold, and the new owners have never reported anything unusual. But I know what I experienced that Memorial Day weekend, and it's a memory that will haunt me forever.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hi, I'm Terry Schmidt, a registered dietitian and host of On Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. There's a lot of wild stuff out there, so we'll be keeping it science-based, research-informed, and practical. Mayo Clinic's On Nutrition, new episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.